read. It is taken from Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Sorry, that reading was so quick, it caught me unawares. I suddenly realized I was meant to be in the pulpit. Apologies that that's the wrong reading on the sheet. We produced these in the week running up to Easter, and we had so many services going on here, there, and everywhere. I'm pretty sure I was the person who looked at this, said that looks about right, but the wrong reading. So the end of Matthew 28 rather than the beginning. But it's a short one, and I'll take us through it. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, as you spoke these formative words to your disciples on the mountain, so speak them again to us, your followers today. In your name we pray. Amen. On September the 5th, 1977, when I was just 2 years old, a rocket took off from Cape Canaveral in Florida. A rocket containing, alongside a lot of rocket fuel, a tiny space probe about the size and weight of a small car, Voyager 1. It was the launch of a mission to explore the giant planets of our outer solar system, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and then beyond. It began in 1977. 35 years later, on the 25th of August, bank holiday weekend, 2012, Voyager 1 passed beyond the bubble of hot gas on the edge of our solar system and entered interstellar space, the first man-made object to do so. It's still going. I checked on the NASA website this week, and on Friday, it was 22.743717 billion kilometers from Earth. It's a little further today. It's still communicating with Earth. It's sending back data constantly. It's occasionally receiving instructions. In 2017, the Voyager team fired the trajectory correction thrusters, the first time they'd been fired since 1980, enabling the mission to be extended by 2 or 3 years. Voyager 1 is now 44 years old and still going. The computers that operate it have about 1 million times less memory than the phone in pocket or your hand, or perhaps you're watching this service on your phone. The Astronomer Royal, Professor Martin Rees, has said this: "It is utterly astonishing that this fragile artifact, based on 1970s technology, can still signal its presence from such an immense distance." If 1977 was the launch of Voyager 1, which has exceeded all expectations in continuing to carry out its mission 44 years later, then in our passage from Matthew's Gospel this morning, we have the launch of another mission, the mission of the Christian church. Jesus gathers together his 11 remaining disciples at the end of his earthly ministry, and he commissions them. This passage is known as the Great Commission. He came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the end of the age." And just as we may smile at the tiny amounts of computer power and outdated technology of Voyager 1, and yet marvel how it's still going, continuing in its mission, so many people may be tempted to laugh at the beginnings of the Christian mission. The public ministry of a man that lasted no more than 3 short years, most of it in an obscure backwater district, Galilee of the Roman Empire, a man whose 11 remaining disciples were largely uneducated. They'd proved themselves to be thoroughly unreliable. A message of forgiveness, salvation, through a shameful death on a cross. So fragile. Perhaps we think now, so outdated, so certain to fail. And yet, today is Sunday, the first Sunday of Easter. And we join with millions upon millions of Christians gathering together today who worship Jesus Christ as Lord, who serve others and seek to change the world in his name. A message that has traveled around the world, his words translated into thousands of languages. Here at St. Nick's, we are the result of that mission. Someone, some people brought the gospel to this country and to each one of us. We're the result of that mission, and we participate in that mission. This great commission is for us. It's for the church. It's for every church. No matter how small, how fragile, how outdated we feel. Let's just hear that mission brief again. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And then either side of that mission brief, if you like, are two promises, two assurances which make this mission possible. Just before it, verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then just after it, verse 20, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And I don't know if you noticed, there's a lot of alls in that passage, in those verses. Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey all things that I have commanded you, and do this because I have been given all authority, and I will be with you always. And I want to add another all. It's not explicit here in the passage, but it's implicit. It's clearly the case when we think of the whole of Matthew's gospel and the New Testament. This mission is for all of us. I heard a funny story this week about Spike Milligan. Someone asked Spike Milligan, where are you from? And he said, I'm from London. Oh, came the reply, which part? All of me, says Spike Milligan. Which part of the church is this great commission for? All of us. Every part. It's not for a particular department, or just for the missionaries out there, or the passionate evangelists in here. It's for all of us. It's the mission which Jesus gave to his followers, and the followers that they would then make, and so down to us. Our mission, our turn. And of course, I'm well aware that we would much rather leave it to others who seem better equipped or better disposed to mission. I'm aware of that because I know you and I know myself. And you'll know if you know me that I'm no great evangelist. So I want to think briefly about four things that we all need to take our part in this mission that Jesus gives to his followers, all of them. Four things. And the first three are attitudes. Firstly, we need to be humble. We need to be humble. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, says Jesus. It's an outstanding claim. Jesus is picking up from a famous Old Testament passage in Daniel 7, where we read there of one like a son of man. Remember how Jesus referred to himself so often as the son of man? One like a son of man is given authority and glory and sovereign power, and all nations and people of every language worshipped him, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. And Jesus claims this authority for himself. During his earthly ministry, the question of Jesus' authority was one that came up regularly when he taught. If you remember, the crowds were amazed because he taught as one with authority, not like their teachers of the law. He claimed to have authority to forgive sins. You remember in the healing of the paralytic, and some of the teachers of the law were outraged. Only God has the authority to forgive sins. They ask him, where do you get your authority from? He demonstrates his authority over evil as he commands demons to leave people. He claims to have authority to judge, authority to teach, to forgive, to save, to judge. And now in his dying on a cross and his rising to life, authority over death. And then here, all authority given to him. During his earthly ministry, people were always questioning his authority. How can you say these things? It was an affront to them. And our response must be to be humble. Humble in our mission, because arrogant mission is destined to fail. We go not on the basis of our authority, but on the basis of his, not to spread the good news about us, but the good news about him. And I'm sure we can all think of examples of arrogance in mission, either in church history or maybe in Christians that we've known, which is both unattractive and completely contrary to the gospel. We must be humble in our mission. But even before that, we have to humble ourselves before Jesus, because just as during his earthly ministry, it was hard for those who listened to him to accept his claim, so it is hard today to accept his claim. It goes against everything that our culture tells us. Either that all religions are bad, or much more commonly, that all religions are equal. We're happy to allow Jesus some authority, but all authority? All nations? It goes against what our culture tells us. It can seem to go against so much of what we see and experience in the world. If Jesus has all authority, then why is he not putting all things right now? If he claimed to be bringing a kingdom of peace and righteousness, then why do we not see it? And we live in a time that the theologians call the now and the not yet. Jesus has now been given authority, but we do not yet see the fullness of his kingdom. In fact, he's given us that task to proclaim his kingdom, to pray for his kingdom. Later in the service, we will pray, your kingdom come. But all of this takes humility. We have to humble ourselves before Jesus. It's not up for me to decide where he does or doesn't have authority. He is Lord, Lord of life, risen from the grave, conqueror of death, savior of the world. All authority has been given to me. We need to acknowledge that he alone has the right to make such a claim. We need to be humble. Secondly, we need to be available. We need to be available. Therefore, go, says Jesus. Do you remember from physics at school the difference between centripetal and centrifugal force? For most of us, physics was a long time ago. For some of us in the North Isle, they've got some years to go yet before a physics lesson. Centripetal force is force towards the center, pulling you in. Centrifugal force is force away from the center, pushing you out. And in the story of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, in fact, if you like, in the movement of the Bible, this is the point where centripetal force is replaced by centrifugal force. Up until now, the center has been Jerusalem, the temple, the presence of God, people and nations coming in. But now, in these words of Jesus, it is reversed. And we're going out, pushed out, commanded to go. That's the direction of travel, outwards. Always. That's the direction of travel. But the distance we travel is perhaps less relevant. For some, this means crossing the world. For others, it means crossing the street. We simply need to be available wherever God sends us, ready to go into the place towards that person, across the room to talk to the person on the other side. We need to be available to pray. Lord, I'm going to be going in all sorts of directions today, coming and going. In all of it, push me out towards others, out of my comfort zone. Help me to be available to you as I go. We need to be humble. We need to be available. We need courage. You will know, just as I know, that being obedient to Jesus' command here, making ourselves available, takes courage. And the further we go away from this building and from one another, the more courage it takes. It's safe here, but out there on your front line, the school gate, your office, wherever you get back to there, the Zoom call, courage is required. Think of any situation where you may be prompted to speak up about Christ, about your faith, or to stand up for his ways. It takes courage. That's why this promise at the end is so important. Surely I am with you always. Go, says Jesus, go. But I'm coming with you. Over the next 2 weeks, we're going to be looking at two of Jesus' followers who went. We're going to look next week at Peter in Jerusalem. The week after that, Paul in Athens. We see in Paul's life this promise, I am with you, which was so vital In Acts chapter 18, in Corinth, in the face of a whole wave of persecution, the Lord spoke to Paul in a dream and said, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." In Acts 23, where Paul is on trial on his way to Rome, again at night, we read, "The Lord stood near to Paul and said, 'Take courage.'" In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in jail, right at the end of his life, where Paul is again on trial, he's been deserted by all his friends, and he says, "Everyone deserted me, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength." "Take courage," says Jesus, "I'm with you always." We need to be humble, available, we need courage, and lastly, we need the church. Yep. We need the church. This fragile, ancient craft, so unlikely to have succeeded in its mission, we can hardly believe it's still going after all these years, but we need one another. None of us can make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them on our own. If you try it, you will fail. We do this together. Whether that's in our gathered mission, in the things that we do together, each of us playing our part, the music, those live streaming this morning, those who lead on Alpha or the church gardeners, whatever we do together, but also in our mission scattered out on our front lines as we support and encourage and pray for one another, as we invite people to come on a Sunday or to watch online or to meet Christian friends. We do this together. In this great commission that Jesus gives to his church. Which part? Every part. We need to be humble, available, we need courage, and we need the church. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, risen Lord of life, conqueror of death, savior of the world, we humble ourselves before you. Take your rightful place in our hearts and our minds, in our church. We humble ourselves also before the mission you have given us, your church. Help us to be available wherever we go. And help us to go out of here, out of our comfort zones, out into your world. Give us courage to speak up and to stand up for you, knowing that you are with us. And help us to do this together, each of us, all of us, to play our part, to take our turn in this great task you have set before us. We pray this in your name. Amen.